Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fungula. On this episode, Danielle and I dive into Matitudes and Gratitudes in Waiting. Now, it's very easy to find Matitudes in Waiting, but look for the gratitude in Waiting. We come up with some pretty good ones, you guys. We got some real good Matitudes and real good Gratitudes. Our theme this week is Waiting. Waiting in line or waiting in life? Bigs and littles, all the waits. We talk about it on this episode of Fungula. Don't forget to subscribe, to follow, to like, to leave comments. Go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Give us some stars. Leave us a good comment. What else?
You can text us or call us at
Oh, yep.
747-300-5380. Tell us what you've been waiting for, and your Matitudes and your Gratitudes, and if you have questions about what we should wait for next. I don't know.
Yeah, you need advice on something? Do you have a question? Ask us. We're right here. We're listening. So go ahead and call us or text us or email us and enjoy this episode of Fungula. You know what I find? I can't put it on Do Not Disturb because I have my family on like emergency mode where it doesn't matter if you're on Do Not Disturb, their text will come through anyways. And those are the people who text me the most. So I'm always getting texts. So now I'm finding if I put it on driving, it'll still tell them, oh, she's driving right now. You know what I mean? So I've been trying that to see if that works on
I struggle with Do
Zoom
Not
calls.
Disturb at night because of I think I have PTSD of when my landlord broke into my apartment.
So you say you do not disturb?
I can do not disturb like right now, but I made this comment to my friends the other day because I was awoken Saturday morning with a group chat blowing up and it was like ding, ding, ding. And I was like, what is going on? And I, instead of catching up, I just said, you all woke me up. And they're like, do not disturb. And I said, I can't. Not when
Very
I'm
Danielle
asleep.
of you.
I was like, I can't. I know. I was like, that's too much to read. But I was like, I can't do not disturb when I'm asleep. I'm too. I have to have my phone on full volume. What if somebody needs to get into my
Emergencies.
apartment?
Emergencies.
Emergencies.
I don't understand people who turn their phone off.
No.
Do you know those psychos
Yeah.
that full on
Yes.
power down?
Yes.
I can't do it. I can't. And it's not because I need my phone on me to like make calls or check emails. It's not even that, because I rarely check my email, ask Danielle.
Facts.
It's emergencies. Somebody needs to get a hold of me. God forbid the tornado warning thing.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Like all
Yeah.
this stuff. So I can't turn my phone off. Also,
I think that's a
I have
mom thing.
Rosie's monitor on my phone. Now I could put it on the iPad and just put the iPad there, but I just have her monitor on my phone, and I don't know. I can imagine turning off communication with my family for emergencies.
No. And I get that. My dad is the same way because he will always answer the phone when I call, even if he's super busy. He'll be like, he'll answer, not, he won't even say hi. He'll go, everything okay? And I go, yeah. And he'll go, okay, I'm in a meeting. Bye. And I'm like, oh.
Wait, 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 wait. What's your password?
Wait. No, but that is really what it is. It's me going, wait, hold on. Should I spend this money real quick? Wait. Should I make this life decision? What do you
Wait,
think?
wait, 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 wait,
Wait,
wait,
wait,
wait,
wait,
wait. Will
wait.
you pay me back if I buy this real quick?
Yeah. Wait, should I book this hotel? My car's making a weird noise. Bye. That's
Oh, good old Coach Roach.
Yeah, I think that's a parent thing for sure, and I think that's fine. Yours is a parent thing. Mine is I don't want anyone to break into my apartment, so.
It's not even a parent thing, because I'll be honest, before I had Rosie, same way. I need to know if there's an emergency in my family with my mom, my dad, my siblings, a cousin, a third cousin. Now, I need to know.
I have a question. Do you think that's because everybody in your life is getting older? Like, would you have said this same thing 10, 15, 20 years ago?
100%.
Oh.
I've always had a fear of death. I've always had true. Like, oh my God, somebody's going to die. I need my phone on to get the call that somebody has died. That's what it is. I need the phone to get the call that somebody has died. That's why.
Upsetting.
Isn't that morbid?
A little bit. But we talked about this because there was one time where we commented about how when you haven't heard back from somebody, your brain goes, they died. And my brain goes, they're mad at me.
Uh-huh.
They hate me. But they're alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, we all both have reasons for that. So it makes sense.
Yeah. That actually, what you just brought up kind of ties into one of my gratitude gratitudes today.
Does it?
We're jumping right in. We're jumping right in, you guys. This episode, Gratitudes, Gratitudes, we're going to talk about waiting. Mads and grads within waiting. And Danielle came up with this idea, and I love how you phrased it. Waiting in line or waiting in life. Mm-hmm. Like the little waits and the big waits.
Yep.
There's a lot. There's scales to the waiting, okay? And there's scales to my gratitudes and gratitudes today, too. There's, okay. Let me just tell you that right now. There's some sillies and there's some...
Same.
Are we having a moment?
Okay. Yes.
But what you just brought up...
What did I say?
When you're waiting for someone to reply...
Oh, yes.
...to a text. That's one of my gratitudes. But here's what I wrote. Okay. When you're anxious about something, okay... Maybe you stepped out of your comfort zone to ask a favor or to ask a question, and now you're waiting for a response, and they're taking a long time to respond. Now it's like, great, they're mad at me. Mm-hmm. They died, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that is partly my gratitude, but the other B part of that gratitude is the fact that I feel this way and that I do this. Like, why do I do that? Why can't I just be the person that can just be direct and ask the question and they'll respond when they respond, but not me. I'm like, did they respond yet? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you get the response, it's fine. And you're like, oh God, I got all worked up for nothing.
Correct.
But, so this is my gratitude is the waiting for a response from someone, mm-hmm. and the fact that I act this way when I'm waiting for a response for someone. That's one of my gratitudes.
Yes. I have a similar one. Same vein. Mine was when someone texts you like, hey, are you free for a chat? Or, hey, we need to talk. And then they like ghost you for like 4 hours after you say, yeah. Like you text back right away and you're like, yeah, what's up? And then they disappear and you're like... They're mad at me, you know, and I'm the same way. You get worked up. I think it just comes from a place of vulnerability. Like I feel like most people probably, we always make things bigger than they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like some people probably don't. I don't know if maybe it's because we're more anxious people. Like maybe that's more of an anxious.
I think it comes down to mentality. We don't want to disappoint people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little bit of people pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Because you're like, oh, they want to talk to me. What did I do wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do I have time for a quick chat about what? Did I forget mm-hmm. something? Did I miss mm-hmm. something? What did I do? Did I mess it up? Mm-hmm. What did I do? There's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then with me, like asking, so, oh, I don't want to put them out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ask too much. I don't want to be a bother. Ugh, they're probably going to be super annoyed mm-hmm. that I'm asking them for this or I'm asking them to do this. I don't want to be a pest. Just, I'll do it myself. There's a little bit of that, like a little bit of people pleasing. I don't want to offend. Yeah. I don't want
to. Oh, the amount of text messages or requests that I've started with. And you can totally say no to this and I'll be so fine about it. But but would it be possible? I think it's definitely people pleasing. It's because I think, too, that's why I get emotional when someone calls or texts and it's like a good thing. And they're like, I just wanted to call and let you know you did really good on that thing, and I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, like, because I was like expecting something. I was like, oh, they want to talk. Something's wrong. Like, I think that is such an anxious. You and I both are anxious people in different ways. I feel like our anxiety is so different.
Yeah.
But then same. And it is. Yeah, it's. We do. I don't know. I don't know who to call for that.
I will say that you've gotten better at it. Me being in your life for the past few years now. I know anytime we've had a talk and immediate, it's like tears immediate. And now you're like, you take in the information and you go, okay. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sounds good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where before we'd have been like, and then me over here, people pleasing going, and also, so sorry. I know you're emotional about this right now, but,
Well, and then I think too, in getting to know me, or at least my friends too, they, anytime I start crying at this point, it phases no one. They're like, don't worry about it. She's fine. I think I get frustrated in that. Like, I'll get frustrated that something's making me crying, and then it makes me cry again because I start crying in my frustration.
And oh my God, are you crying right now?
No.
Just kidding.
Stop it. But anyway, anxiety, right? And that's what it comes down to.
People
pleasing. I was always the good kid, right? And I think a lot of it, and again, back to childhood trauma is what, it, you know, that's always the root cause of everything. This isn't childhood trauma, but I definitely was growing up that kid that heard teachers, parents, whoever, love my parents, but they were always like, this is the kid you don't have to worry about. She always follows the rules. She's the good one. Like, oh, your kid's acting up, sit her next to Danielle. And then, you know, they'll follow the rules. Yeah. So like my whole life, I was told I was the leader, the one that does everything. And, you know, so then that kind of gets like.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't, I feel
truly.
Like.
Yeah, because that gets stuck in your head. And so then now I'm, you know, asking someone like, hey, do you have a contact? And I'm like, I hope they're not mad about that. And that's how it trickles down. So text messages, am I right?
That's a good one. Okay. Another mattitude. Do you have another mattitude for waiting?
Oh, yeah. I followed the assignment. Okay.
Okay. Give me one of yours and then I'll go back and forth.
This is so silly. And it's a little, I am guilty of it as well. And it goes kind of in the same line of the text messages, but I hate when someone go, like you ask a question or something and they go, let me find out and I'll get back to you. And then they never get back to you. And you're just waiting, and you're like, and you're constantly like, where is that update? Where is that update? And then you have to follow up. And then again, back to my people pleasing, I feel bad that I have to follow up. I feel bad to be like, hey, remember when you said you were going to do this thing like 3 days ago and I still haven't heard from you? Did you do it? Did you do it? And it's like perfectly reasonable. The amount of times I've texted my friend and be like, they haven't replied in 2 days. Should I text back? And she's like, yes. It's fine. Like, follow up. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to be. She's like, you're not being rude. You're being responsible or whatever. So same thing.
I don't think I've ever been the person that's like, oh, let me find that out and get back to you. I definitely have been the person that's like, hey, let me call you right back. And then do not call back. Because I feel like that's not, I'm not really saying I'm going to call you right back. I'm saying I got to go. And that's my nice way because I don't want to offend you saying, hey, I got to go. So I go, let me call you right back. I'm not going to call you right back.
No, you never do.
I got to go.
You do that to me all the time. And I actually am waiting for you to get back to me on something.
Oh, yeah. Okay, except for you. You're the only person. But I'm thinking like with friends and cousins and whatever. And like we're just chatting, chit-chatting. And I got to go. I'd be like, ooh, let me call you right back.
Yeah.
I'll call you right back. If I give you a specific, hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow after Rosie's nap, expect me to call you. I still probably will forget, but at least expect it.
Unless you put it in the calendar, I don't know if you are going to remember.
I set an alarm on my phone, everything I can. I'm like,
Even if stuff is in the calendar, we still have to remind.
Yep.
But that's fine. Yeah. I don't know. Surely. I think, and then what that comes down to again is communication. I feel like everything comes back to communication.
All right, I got one.
Okay, what's your waiting, Mads?
This one's a little bit more silly, but real. Waiting for the car in front of you to make a turn, especially when you've already seen three openings so far.
Yes. And you're sitting, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk about this. I remember you saying the first time your mom was in your car with you while you were pulling into the intersection to make that turn that she was like holding on for dear life. Like, what are you doing? You're in the middle of the road, mm-hmm. Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I first moved to Nashville and people didn't do that, I was like, what is going on? Why is nobody creeping so we can all make this turn? Nope. They wouldn't do it. They're like, I'm going to wait here at the line and wait for a break in the traffic and then I'll go. Yeah. No, sir. Yeah. You creep into the intersection. The car behind you creeping right behind you. And now me in third place, I'm at the line. That's the mm-hmm. way it's supposed to look.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the car don't come. There's a break. Now it's a yellow light. All of us gun it. Go, 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 go. Everybody go. Everybody go. Go, 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 go. The they amount of times that I've yelled, go, 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 because I'm going to try to make it too.
Mm-hmm. Question. And this is good research for me personally. I definitely am that person that I'm pulling in the intersection. I'm as close as I can get without thinking that car is going to hit me, right? To turn left, right? Because this is what this is in LA, there's not a lot of, as you call them, protected left turns, meaning a green arrow.
Is that what it's called? When it's a green arrow?
When it's a green arrow, it's a protected left turn. Look at that. And I did learn that phrase from my mom. Because she likes to point out the lack of that. But so you pull out every, and I think it's sort of this unspoken rule out here because of how bad traffic is and how there's so much of that there's no arrows. Everybody just knows you pull out. And also I think like the cops know, like nobody, like you're not going to get a ticket. Nobody's ticketing for that. It's a waste of everyone's time to get a ticket for that. So I do notice that in other cities, Nashville probably is, like, does anybody go? Are there more arrows? Do they, like, out here, if it's yellow, you speed up. Are they yellow? Or are they actually slowing down, cautioning?
No, there's one more that annoys me more than this scenario that I've mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
When you're making a left turn into a neighborhood, into a parking lot, into anything, you're making a left turn, you got to wait for the traffic to stop. Finally, the traffic slows down, and those cars don't leave you a space to go across the street to get into the neighborhood. The cars just blocked the street. Do you know what I'm saying?
No. What do you mean?
Like, okay, you're waiting to make a left turn, but cars are coming. Okay. And you're making a left into, let's say, Target parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh,
and the cars come and they don't stop ahead of time to leave you some space so you can cut across the road to get into the parking lot. Or you can cut across the road to get into the neighborhood.
Oh, so they're blocking because they were coming
so
straight.
They block the street or they block the entry to the parking lot. And they don't leave space mm-hmm. for the cars that are patiently waiting to make that left turn. We're mm-hmm. in the turning lane.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting to go left.
Mm-hmm.
And they just block it. Mm-hmm. They see you waiting with your blinker on. Ding, 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 ding.
You gave them ample notification. Like, me next. Me next.
That.
Mm-hmm.
That is what annoys me most. Where I'm like, what?
I'm like, here's the thing is there are so many wrecks, so many casualties, so many injuries that happen in cars to where and I feel like so much of it is people being careless or people being selfish and being like, now it was my turn. And I'm like, if we could just be considerate of everyone, I feel like we would have less injuries, less problems, like just being so aware. I feel like I like recently, and I don't know if it's because I'm a month out from leaving LA to where everything in LA is just bothering me. Like at this point, I'm like, everything is irritating me. And I feel like I've been irritated the most in traffic and on the road with cars, just like just honking or blocking the path, like you said. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, you got there 2 seconds ahead of me. Why does that 2 seconds make a difference in the grand scheme of life? You know, everybody just slow down.
Yeah.
But also go the speed limit. Also that.
Slow down, but also go.
But also, it's 65. So why are we going 50?
Keep going.
Yeah. I agree.
All right, give me another one.
Speaking of people not paying attention or not ready, I am very annoyed when you go to a coffee shop or a restaurant and there's a good 10 people in front of you. We're waiting in line. You've had all this time to prepare your order.
Oh, man.
And you get to the front of the line and you don't, you're like, what do I want? And I, if it's the person in front of me, I obviously don't say anything. I just sit there in my annoyedness. But if I struggle, if there's somebody with me and I get up there and they're not ready and I'm like, you're not ready? You had all this time? I gave you a menu. What do you mean? There's another, because then I get pressured, because then I freak, again, anxiety. Then I'm looking behind me, I'm like, there's all these people behind us. They're all looking at us, and they know we're not ready, and we've had all this time to get ready.
Uh-huh.
That bothers me.
What this reminds me of?
What?
The coffee shop we went to in Hawaii, it was on Maui, the day we were leaving Maui and going to Oahu. That coffee shop was real good.
So good. I went every day.
What was it called? Do you recall?
Tell me your story and I'll look up the picture.
It's on Maui. It's near the airport. Anyway, they have so many different pastries, so many different little sandwiches, blah, 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 blah. They're in the glass container up at the counter. So you can't see what they are until you get to the counter. So it's kind of like you're in this freak out situation of like, oh my God, I have to learn every pastry that they have in here in this, you know, 42 seconds while the person in front of me is ordering. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but what is this? But what even is Kupalili, whatever, like all these like things that I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Is that sweet? Is it tart? Is it tangy? And I have all these questions. I'm like, okay, wait, do I want this? Oh my gosh, that looks really good. I wonder what's, they're like, wait, what are they known for something? Like, right? Then I have the guy behind me also freaking out. To the point where he is now right here, like face to face with me.
Yes.
As we're both trying to like see what's in this glass container of pastries. And like he's freaking out and he's trying to like, and now he's like in front of me. And now I'm a little bit freaking out because I'm like, wait, is he trying to cut? And then I'm like, no, girl, just chill. He's also freaking out because he knows he needs to figure out what he wants too. We're all trying to be efficient, so by the time we get to the counter, we can know what we want with minimal questions.
Yeah.
But that is a bit of a stressful situation when you got to wait until you're up there to, like, see it all.
I mean, I appreciate that he also was like, I got to be prepared. I got to be.
I do appreciate it, but also back up.
Back up. This, it was called Mamona. M-O-M-O-N-A. Mamona. Mamona. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. Mamona.
Mamona. I like it. It was so delicious. I'll be honest, because of, I ordered one thing. I think I went 3 days in a row and I ordered the same thing every time because I got nervous.
Because stop, you did?
I did. I ordered the same thing every day simply because I was like, there's a line.
There's so many good things. We tried so many things.
I know. I will say though, the when I went the first time, there was no line. So I did chat with the girl. Oh. And found the coffee that I wanted and got the toast. And I loved it so much that honestly, when I went back the other 2-3 days, I just was like, this is, I like this. I want this. I'm a very creature comfort person.
Yeah, I hear you. Whatever. I do that too at places. I'm like, I want this same thing. It was so good. Oh, like I went back to best coffee ever.
Oh, Jitters. Mm-hmm.
In McAllen, Texas. Did I look at their menu?
I'm so mad I didn't ask you to buy me a bag of coffee, but it's fine.
And you know what? I did buy myself one.
You don't even have a regular coffee machine.
Yeah, I do. I got a pour over.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Love that.
But did I look at their menu to try something new? I absolutely did not. Did I look at their menu to remind myself what I ordered last time so I could order it again? 100%. That's exactly what I did. And I ordered the same drinks again. Mm-hmm. And they were so good.
Yeah. I do that all the time. There's so many restaurants in my neighborhood that I go to on a monthly, if not weekly basis, but I will order the same thing. And then when friends visit or family or whatever, they'll go, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried this? And I'm like, no, I haven't.
But you know, here what's this is what pisses me off is in the same breath where I'm like, oh, I like the same thing when I go to a restaurant. When I try to like try something new, like at the grocery store, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna try these new crackers. And he's like, why? We like these ones. I'm like, well, we'll try something new. He's like, why are we gonna try something new when we know we like this? And I'd be like, well, how did you know you were gonna like that before you tried it? You tried it. See what happens when you try it? Then you see if you like something else. And I get real sassy. But I do the same thing.
Yeah. You're like, I want to try something new when I want to try something new.
Thank you.
But sometimes I don't want to try something new.
Thank you.
That's so silly. But I 1,000%, that's what it is. I'm like, I will try something new when I want to, and don't tell me when I can and cannot do that. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah.
Now this one is a more serious attitude.
I'm listening.
This one's a more realistic waiting attitude. Okay. I said waiting for someone to get the help they need because their lack of health is affecting your life.
Okay, expand.
Okay. So I have a person in my life that their choices have affected my life. But if they would get the help that they need, their life would change for the better. And in turn, my life would also benefit from having them in it, if that makes sense. And I'm being vague because
yeah,
I'm not trying to put people's business on the streets. Sure. But mm-hmm. It's like for anybody, you can point out in somebody else where they need the help. Well, yeah, they need to work on this, this, and this. More so than you can point it out in yourself. Sometimes you can point out, yeah, I need to work on this, whatever, whatever. But other times, looking in the mirror is very difficult when you're looking at your flaws, not just like what you look like. I'm talking about character and your humanness. When you're out and about and everybody's just human, running errands, doing their thing, we all have our shortcomings. Nobody out there perfect. So it's easier to point out somebody else's shortcomings, right? But when somebody's shortcomings are it's an illness, it needs proper professional care and help because you need it. Like I see it's harder for you to see it because you're in it, but I'm on the outside and I'm looking at you and I'm like, you need this help. Please get this help. And then it falls on deaf ears. People have to want to help themselves. You can't do it for them. So then it just comes back to, well, I just got to pray for this person and pray that God helps them and opens their eyes and gives them a moment of clarity to see that they need help and allow them, give them the strength to reach out for that help and follow through with getting the help and making the changes in their life so that they can be a healthy, whole, happy person and have healthy relationships with all the people around them, their friends, their family, their partners, everybody in their life. Like, I want so bad for this person to get help so that we could have relationship because I love this person so much. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting for this person to get the help that they need because it'll be just better for them and mm-hmm. and me too.
Yeah. Have you I don't know, thought about what it
was. Thought about minding your own business? I don't know.
No. Ma'am, I was trying to ask, have you thought about what it'll look like if that happens or if it doesn't?
I've thought about what it will look like if it happens. I haven't really thought about, no, that's a lie. I've thought about, like, what if this continues forever? Mm-hmm. How sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long is forever?
Mm-hmm.
How sad. I haven't gone in depth to, like, what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope for the other. I hope for, you know, what it looks like when healing does come and sure. help does come.
I mean, I feel like hope is what you have to cling to, right? When it all seems so bleak or dark yep. or frustrating. And it's, yeah, I mean, there's nothing else you can do. So that's like, I think the most annoying part of the waiting is that normally in a waiting situation, I feel like you're looking around going, okay, what can I do to help move this timeline forward? And then to come to the realization that there's nothing you can do.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's the worst kind of waiting.
Yeah.
That's the worst kind of patience to have to try to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing I can do to help. There's no. nothing I can. Well, I can't like work out more, or I can't like mm-hmm. be healthier. That won't help it. I can't mm-hmm. Wake up earlier, and no, none of this helps. No, this, no, those yeah. are all great things that you can do, but none of that mm-hmm. helps anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That waiting. Sure. And it kind of like, I feel for any parent who has adult children that has to watch your children go through something difficult knowing you can't do anything about it. Like you have to, like when you're, they're young and you're their parent, of course you step in whatever way you can, because we're teaching them how to be a human. We're their parent, they're grown up. We got to protect them and like all that kind of stuff. And so you do everything you can to protect them. But then when they're older and an adult, you literally can do nothing but watch them make their decisions that you know are wrong and detrimental. That means bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an inside joke with a couple friends of mine. I used it in the wrong context one time.
Okay.
And they made fun of me. We still make fun of me till this day. And now every time I go to say it, I'm like, wait, am I saying it right?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
That was, yes, that was correct.
Anyway, it's got to be so hard for any mm-hmm. adult parent watching their child go through a difficult time knowing you can't mm-hmm. do anything about it,
yeah.
but pray for them,
mm-hmm.
encourage them, love them, show up for them when mm-hmm. they need you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all you can do. Oh, tough. Mm-hmm. You can't fix it. Oh,
yeah.
You can't rescue them. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
What that feels like.
Yeah, because sometimes I feel like the rescue is more harm. Almost, it's kind of like they need to figure this out, because if you're constantly coming in and fixing someone else's problems, they're never going to learn to fix them on their own.
Mm-hmm,
right? Mm-hmm. It's the, I don't know. I feel like that's something my parents have always instilled in me is like, you know, yeah, my dad was always like, yeah, if you, you know, need to come home, but I'm not going to, I'll give you a place to stay, but I'm not going to, if you got yourself in a mess, figure it out, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's got, and at least I'm like, where's the positive in all this, right? My brain's like, where can we find the shining light? And I don't know. It's like, it's almost like it seems mean to be like, well, at least there's, I know there's other people in your life that are in the same, probably in the same feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, that sucks too. Like, that's not any better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's tough.
Do you have any more?
For Mattitudes.
Yeah. I have one last Mattitude.
Okay. I don't have a serious one like you did. Not that it needs to be, but yeah. My only other annoying waiting, I mean, I guess maybe it's serious. I go back and forth on it in the sense that I have these moments of feeling like I'm waiting for my life to begin. That's so silly. I'm literally in the middle. I'm in my life, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I'm 35 mm-hmm. or something. But I think, or something, I am 35. I don't know why I said that. And I guess just because I'm in this transitional period and I have this, I hate when you're waiting for something and then it's something you've been waiting for so long and then maybe it's not quite what you imagined. It's not like, I don't know, maybe you're, and it could be something as simple as you're waiting to go to this concert and then you get to the concert and you're like, oh, I didn't play the songs I wanted. That wasn't what I thought this was going to be, you know, or waiting for a big party and something happens and you're like, oh, I got all my hopes into this.
People didn't show up.
They didn't show up, you know, or something. And so I think I get stuck in this like spiral in this loop where I'm like, don't wait for it too much. Cause what if it's not what you wanted? Or what if, you know, and it's, and so
don't wait for it too much.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. And, I don't know. So I go back and forth on feeling like, oh, I know I'm in it. And then, I don't know. I think it's just with the move. I think my brain is like, don't overhype it. You know, like, and I'm just waiting to get there. Like as if something magagical is going to happen when I get there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had a lunch with a friend and I was like, I feel like I'm putting too much stock into this move. I feel like I'm putting like, oh, my life is going to change and everything's going to be better. And he literally goes, and what if it's not? And I was like, and what if it's not? I'm like, oh no. So there's a, I think, yeah, that waiting is kind of frustrating in the sense of, I don't want to put too much stock in it and be disappointed. And cause that has happened before of the disappointment or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't even know. What was that? I don't know. Waiting for what? I don't know. A change to happen and then it doesn't change. Who knows?
The waiting in itself is hard. And then disappointment after the waiting?
Yeah. That's, double. I think, that's what I'm worried about.
Double whammy.
I mean, I'm already concerned because there's no IKEA. So I'm like, what is this? A small town?
Wild.
Am I moving to a small town?
No, we don't got no IKEA. We got Ashley Furniture. That's all we got.
My mom was like, we can stop at the one by the house when you stop in Dallas. And I was like, is Dallas bigger? My life is being rocked right now. Everyone's like, did you not do research? No.
You weren't going to move because they don't have an IKEA?
No. But, sorry, I just got a fraud alert from my credit card. Feeling good. That's the second time this week. They already just sent me a new card. Oh, no. That's another one. No. Stop taking my cards. I do feel like I'm kind of like jumping. I feel like I'm like, it's going so fast. It's really not. I've been talking about this forever.
Yeah.
But now that it's here,
going at a great pace.
The waiting, the anticipation. Mm-hmm. It's trippy. Yep. It's messing with
me. And
then
once you get here, there's going to be a settling in period.
There's
going to be an unpacking period. There's going to be an adjustment. Mm-hmm. You're moving in the dead of summer. It's going to be hot as balls.
I know.
It's going to be ridiculous.
That I'm actually prepared for. That I'm ready for. It's the Friday night comes along and I don't have plans. That's where I'm already like,
oh.
Does anybody want to hang out?
I Yeah, because your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from waiting in lines to waiting in life. It's scary.
This episode of Fungula. Going great. Let's move into gratitude.
I know. I was like, we gotta move on. We gotta find.
Okay, yeah. Wait, I got
some
more
positives.
One more. I had one more gratitude. Really,
what is
quick.
It?
It's a silly one.
What is it?
I know we talked about on the live shows. We did gratitudes and gratitudes on tour for everybody listening and watching at home. We brought this gratitude and gratitude portion to live shows on tour, and we would ask the audience what their gratitudes and gratitudes were, and Danielle would always give the announcement teaching everybody how to do it. And one of the things she would say do not say is traffic. Please do not write traffic as your gratitude.
And we talked about it.
We all hate traffic. We get it. Okay, with that being said, this is a very specific traffic waiting. I'm okay. Nobody loves traffic. I don't love traffic, but I'm okay with it. I'm like, whatever. I got to sit in it. This sucks. As long as I'm not running late, then I'm like, whatever. But if I'm just sitting in traffic, I'm like, oh, God, I can't stand traffic. Whatever. That's it. My attitude specifically is my husband in traffic. If we're in traffic together and he's in the car, forget it. I don't like that. I don't want to be there.
Okay.
I don't have nothing to do with it. Manny in traffic is unhinged. He becomes a whole different person. My husband in traffic is like the version of himself that I don't even know if he realizes he becomes this person in the car. And then once we park and we get out, he's fine. But in the drive, in traffic, I'm like, yo, let me put my AirPods on and watch a video or something, because I cannot with this guy right now. So that's a very specific traffic attitude that is acceptable as long as it's very specific.
To you?
Is my husband in traffic.
Is he just honking and yelling at everybody? Is he the person that I'm getting mad at?
He rarely honks, but he is talking a lot of smack the whole time. Oh, really? You didn't want to let me in? Wow. Wow, guy. Freaking idiot. And I'm like, what if he just didn't see you? Yeah. No, he saw me.
Yeah.
How do you know he saw me? You don't know that he saw you.
And as someone who, more times than not, didn't see you.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's going, oh, where'd you come from?
Yeah. Why are you mad at me? Why are you honking at me?
Oh, I swear, every time I'm honked at, I'm like, hello? Who's there? I'm so sorry. I wish there was like a response honk that meant like, oops, my bad, you know, or like, oh, didn't see ya.
Yes.
I like to do
great.
And you know how a lot of people flake people off?
My bad honk.
I like to do thumbs up instead. I think that's funnier. Especially if they
don't like them, you're like,
if they're mad at, but like, or if they're mad at me, I did recently have this woman. We're in bumper to bumper traffic. Okay. It is peak rush hour time. I expected traffic. I felt like at that time, everyone here should also expect traffic. This woman, she, the whole time I'm noticing her in my rear view, she's on my butt. She's on my butt. And I was like, please, we're going 10 miles an hour. I was like, why are you so close to me? I'm keeping the respectable car and a half link in front of me clear. Right. She honk, 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 honk. She's so mad at me. I can see her being like, what are you doing? Like in the rear view. And I just go, what's that? Hey. She swerves around me. And then I see her. Swerve, swerve, swerve. I see her. Get this. Get this. Two exits further down. Now we're trying to get onto the next highway. All of a sudden, guess who's back behind me?
Oh, no.
Same lady. And I'm like, you did all that. You did all that just to be behind me again. I go, I didn't go anywhere. I stayed in my lane. I stayed that whole time. I was like, you did all that for nothing, ma'am. Ma'am. And I'm also thinking, like, here's the thing. And this has nothing to do with waiting and just my pet peeve with people not understanding how time works. In the sense where honk, honk, honk. And I'm thinking like, oh, maybe they're late for something. And I'm like, that's on you. You know how traffic works in Los Angeles. Okay. You know, if you need to be somewhere at a certain time, you're probably going to have to leave an hour before, okay, if you're going far. So I'm like, and every time someone's like, oh, I was rushing, I was running late. That's on you, babes. That's on you, not on me. Okay, we all expected this. I don't feel bad for you. So.
Period.
The end. Anyway, no more traffic.
All right, everybody, take a deep breath. Let it go. Let all that gratitude out of your body. Now let's move into gratitude. Mm-hmm. This first gratitude I have in waiting. Mm-hmm. Again, the theme here is waiting.
Waiting.
You might think, why would you be grateful for waiting? What about waiting is worth gratitude? I'll tell you one thing.
What is it?
Bonzo, my dog.
Oh.
Waiting for Bonzo. I wanted a dog for so long. I grew up with pets. Dogs, cats, rabbits.
Rabbits?
Mm-hmm. Had a rabbit.
Wow.
In a cage in the backyard, and he froze one night.
To death?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least that's what I was told. I was young. Okay. So I grew up with pets. Then I became an adult. I wanted a dog, but I was too poor. Could not have a dog. Could barely even afford to feed myself. Definitely couldn't afford a dog. Anyways, years and years go by. Then I become successful. And now I'm too busy for a dog. Now I'm traveling the world. No room, no time for a dog, no time for a dog. But I still want a dog. And this whole time, I would be praying to God for my dog. Not like, I'm going to go get it right now, but like asking God for a dog, like in the future. And I would be very specific about the kind of dog that I wanted, his temperament, his personality, his size, what it would look like. Like I was very specific, like the type of dog that I wanted. Then I got to a place in my life where I was like, okay, I think I'm ready for a dog. And I went to this animal adoption fair that was at a park. And there was all these dogs that were available for adoption. And this was a Havanese dog. And I wanted a Havanese dog. And I get there and this dog is very anxious. And immediately my spirit was like, no, this isn't it. He was super cute, but no, this isn't your dog. And I'm like, I'm going to have to pass. I can't take him. This is not my dog. And I remember the people being disappointed because I had been like communicating with them and like emailing them. And I went to meet them at this dog fair. And I was like, nah, this not for me. This is not the dog. And I remember feeling disappointed and sad, like, dang, I thought I was about to get my dog today. Did not. Then a couple years go by after that, and I'm on social media following a lot of dog adoption accounts, and my friend Maya, she's also following dog adoption accounts, and we're sending dogs back and forth, like, oh, get this one, get that one, and like, I'm telling her to get one, she's telling me to get one. Not really for realsies, but kind of. Also at the time, now I'm married. This is before I was even married that I was trying to get a dog. Now at this time, I'm married. And I remember telling Manny, like being like, I want a dog. And he's like, all right, but it's your dog. You got to take care of it. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like this would be our dog. But whenever you're ready for a dog, then we'll get one. Because this is like a partnership. We both got to want the dog and have the dog, and it's our dog. So anyways, time goes by, and we dog sit one weekend for Penelope, and we're dog sitting. And I remember Manny made one comment. He was like, if we ever get a dog, I want a dog like Smokey. Boom. That's all I needed to hear. That was my opening. That was my in. I said, we got him locked in. Let's go. Started looking for a dog immediately. I said, he's ready. So me and Maya, back to, we're sending back and forth different pictures of dogs at different agencies that are waiting to get adopted. And there was that one weekend I was in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Biloxi.
I was in my hotel room and I'm resting before the show. And Maya sends me a post and she says, oh my gosh, look at this dog. He's so cute. And I immediately, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh, that's my dog. And I was like, he's so cute. He probably already been adopted. Then I look at the post. The post had only been up for 1 hour. I was like, oh, this is a brand new dog. So I called them immediately. And I was like, hey, is this dog still available? And they were like, yep. I said, okay, great. Can you hold him for me? And they said, yeah, can you be here by 3? And I was like, oh, here's the thing. I'm in Biloxi, Mississippi right now.
You're like
But I fly
three
home tomorrow
tomorrow?
at 1 p.m. So I could be there by 3 p.m. tomorrow. Cut to fly home. I go and I meet Bonzo. Every dog in that shelter is barking and yapping except for Bonzo. He's just sitting in his little kennel, just quietly, just sitting there. And I was like, oh my God, that's my dog. That's him.
Sweet angel baby.
And I remember praying on the way too, because Manny went with me. And I was like, okay, Manny needs to like feel a connection with the dog. So I was like, okay, if the dog kisses Manny, that's my sign. Like, I'm looking for a sign. And so I'm holding Bonzo and I'm like cuddling. And of course, he's like nestled in because he's just the sweetest dog from day one. And I asked Manny, I go, do you want to hold him? He's like, I guess. He don't care. So I put the dog in Manny's lap and he's just like holding him. And I still have this picture. I took a picture of it. And then Bonzo just leans over and like, first he smells his hand and like, and moves away. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. But
Probably
then
all
he
the
just gave me a
cologne.
little lick lick. And I was like, oh my God, he did it. He kissed him. We're in there. Sign the paperwork. Let's
He's the
go.
one.
And that's how I got Bonzo, my most beautiful, handsome, loving, angel dog of a dog. My cutin, cutin
Patootin.
doggin.
Where is he?
He's right here across from me on the bed. Best dog in the entire universe.
He really
But I
is.
waited a very long time for him. And I'm grateful that I waited.
He really is just the. I feel like people don't believe me when we go into venues and I mention some people, they freak out. They're like, a dog? And I'm like, please. You won't even know he's there. I was like,
He's a human baby.
he is.
He
He's
just has
so
fur, okay?
chill. I'm like, just give him a chance. You're gonna love him. And everybody has, except for one place, and I'm not gonna say who. But everybody else loved him.
Yep.
He always gets everybody on his side, as he should. I
He's the
love it.
best.
He's the
Give me
best.
one of your gratitudes for waiting.
I have a few, but the one I want to start with is, we get frustrated with the waiting. Oh, why is this taking so long? And I like that sometimes in the delay, it protects you from something else. Have you heard of the burnt toast theory? Have you heard of that?
Okay, I see it, but I don't understand it. What does burnt toast have to do
So
with anything?
basically, it kind of means, like, let's say you're getting ready to leave for work in the morning, you've burnt your toast. Ugh, now I have to spend an extra 5 minutes remaking my toast. Well, in that 5 minutes, it protected you from getting in a car wreck, or it protected
Got
because
it.
you left 5 minutes later than you planned, you have avoided these bad things. Something crashed right before you got there, some whatever. Oh, you got stuck behind this train and you're waiting for this train to go by, but because you waited for this train, a tree fell over there. And
It's kind of like looking for the positive
yes,
in the negative situations.
exactly. And so I like I so I so in that the waiting can be good, in that maybe you're, again, me waiting for something exciting to happen in my life or waiting for something to change. And while I was waiting for something else, this other thing unexpectedly came along, and there was something better that I never anticipated or expected. And I think that's always really exciting. Maybe I was, I remember when I interviewed for this job, I was waiting to hear back from another job that I thought I went through four rounds of interviews, and I thought, oh, this is it. Like, I'm finally gonna get this job. It was with a studio, and I had been wanting to just get out of freelance. I wanted a more permanent gig. I will say I was nervous about the typical 9 to 5 in the office every day, but it was with a television studio, and I was like, I love TV. I want to be in TV. This is a way of being in TV without, you know, worrying where my next job is going to come from or whatever. And I was waiting to hear back. And when I was waiting to hear back from that job, that's when I found out about the job with you. And I'll be honest, at the beginning, I was like, it seems like a lot of work. I don't know about this. I was like, I don't know. I mean, the requirements, the list of requirements that you had, I was like, oh yeah, check, 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 check. I can do all that. But it just also, I was like, but I also thought, I go, and I've done all of that with a team of people. Like, that's like, so it just seemed like a big undertaking. And, but I remember thinking, well, I'll just apply while I'm waiting to hear back. And then if I get this other job, well, then there it is. It's done or whatever. And then I didn't get that other job, but I got this one instead. So, mm-hmm. Prime example.
Did you find out that you didn't get that job before you got this job?
Yes.
Like, did they call you halfway through and go, hey, we're going another direction?
I got an email, but it was, I think it was like that same week. And I was already working a freelance job. I was still working on Big Brother, but I feel like it was all like in the same mm-hmm. week. And it was also when I was on hiatus from the job from Big Brother and I was going on vacation with my family. So it was like there was a lot
going on. You mm-hmm. had like a follow-up interview, but you were at Disneyland or something.
Correct. I was at Disney World with my family. And mm-hmm. But I had applied like the last week of Big Brother before I went on hiatus for a few weeks was I was interviewing for that job. Jessie texted me about this job and I was like, I'll just apply for it. She's talked about this so many times. Like I basically was like, let me just do it to appease her. I was like, and I still didn't believe that Jaquie was leaving because Jessie had mentioned that to me so many times that I was like, I mm-hmm. don't believe you. Like, you've mm-hmm. been talking about this for, like, 2 years. And then later she was like, no, she's pregnant. It's happening. It's real. And I was like, okay, now I feel, like, bad about this. I was like, is she being kicked out because she's having a baby? That feels illegal. But no, it was her choice. And, but yeah, but it was a lot. But I really wanted that job and that television show. But I will say the last interview that I had with them didn't feel great. I remember walking away and I remember thinking, because my first three interviews were so good. Like, I just was like, this is it. This, the Lord, the divine. I was like, click, click, click. And then the last interview that I had was with the head of the department. And I just had this feeling where I was like, this could all be in my head. But I had this feeling where I was like, she doesn't like me. I was like, there's something. I am not connecting with this woman. I connected with everyone else on the team. And I also felt like she started the interview like already annoyed somehow. Like I felt like the interview started like she was annoyed that she had to interview me and like
you started with an apology. Start off by saying I'm sorry. I don't know why, but
That's how it felt like. I remember, and it was all virtual, right? Because this was 2021, so everything is still virtual. And I get on the Zoom and I'm like, hi. So good to meet you. And she's like, hi.
Oh,
awesome. And I just like the whole time
she was in a bad mood, something happened, or she already made her choice. Like, she already
part of me wonders about that. She also was like, we do this a lot, is that something you can do? And I was like, yeah. Like, it felt like a lot of the same. It was almost like she didn't believe me for some reason. And I like some of the stuff that she was describing that I would be responsible for, I had done time and time again on my other like I basically was just like turning my freelance job into a permanent position. And I just thought, yes, I was like, as I've mentioned before, I've done this and this on all these various well-respected TV shows. Like, I wasn't coming from I worked on Survivor from CBS. Does that ring a bell? You may have heard of it. I don't know. Like, I was like, I've done all these like big shows. I was like, why do you not believe me? I gave you the references. You can look at the credits. I'm on the credits. Like, I don't know. Like, it was so, I just felt like she just was like, no, I don't like you.
I think she made her decision probably before that.
That's what I'm wondering. And like, that's so frustrating. Like, because even the HR lady that I talked to first, she was like, I love you. You're so amazing. Blah, 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 blah. And so I don't know. It was part, like, again, in the waiting for that, I was like, I think that was like, I'm glad you came along, because what if she had said yes? I feel like I probably would have hated that job. Like, I feel like we probably would have had this disconnect, you know? And so it was better but that was something I wanted. I was like, finally, I was like, the wait is over. I finally have gotten this permanent gig. I don't have to worry about where my next paycheck is going to come from, or being off for 6 months and trying to look at the Facebook groups and texting every contact that I know. Hey, I'm available if you need someone. You know, because that's what it was. That truly, like, even the last show that I worked on was because I emailed. I knew the next season was coming up, and I just emailed the cast director and I said, hey, I'm available if you haven't hired your team yet. Remember me? We worked on this other show together. And she was like, yes, I remember you. I need somebody right now. And I said, great. Here I am. Awesome.
I'm on my way.
What do you need? Yeah. So I feel like those are, you know, turning it into the positives.
Yeah. Right. I have just a couple more gratitudes.
Oh yeah, we're already on.
These are more silly. These are a little bit more silly, okay. But not. Okay, so one, I said I actually like waiting in, where did that go?
Is it waiting in lines?
Yes. Okay, but wait. Specifically, hold on.
I was like, I have similar one.
Like waiting in line when I'm in a good mood and I'm not in a hurry because it allows me to notice things and people around me. I make more eye contact. Mm. I acknowledge existence. Mm-hmm. That, to me, I love, because so many times we're out and about doing our day and we're in our own head. We're in our own, I gotta go, I gotta move here, I gotta do this, this and that. But when you don't have that urgency and you're in a good mood, maybe you just had a really good coffee. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're just like in that like first sip stage and you're waiting in line. You make eye contact with people. You ask about their day. You have a little you start giving compliments. You start giving, ooh, I like your bag. Mm-hmm. You start giving some of those. You start raising some vibrations of the people around you. You start saying, oh my gosh, I never saw that this restaurant is right here on my route. I never even noticed that because I'm always go, go, go in my head, whatever. But now I'm like, chill. I'm waiting at the stoplight and I'm noticing, oh, wow, look at that. Like, I start noticing things that exist, people that exist, birds that exist. Like, I start noticing things when I'm waiting. So I'm grateful for that.
Yes. I had a very similar one written down as well. I'll be honest, waiting lines doesn't bother me most of the time because usually I'm like, well, this is what I want and I'm willing to wait for it, right? But recently I got to go to Disneyland with 8 of my closest friends. There was 9 of us.
Wow.
And it was the best day. It was just the best day. And obviously a lot of that day was spent waiting in lines and none of it ever bothered me because I'm like, I'm sure we're waiting for this same thing together. We now have the next 30 minutes to just talk and connect with each other and catch up. And we're moving towards a goal that we all are excited for, Pirates of the Caribbean. But we're getting there and it's just, it's a moment to catch up. Even if I go and get coffee with a friend or go and get brunch at a popular a brunch spot or whatever. Mm. We just ate at this place where we all had to, it was like, you know, you order and then you sit down. And so we all had to wait to order. But nobody was bothered because we're just sitting there talking like, oh, tell me more about that. Oh, you're looking for a new house. Let me see. Oh, show me the video. Show me the video. Like, and then all of a sudden it's you get to the part what you've been waiting for and you're like, oh, that didn't take time at all because you're just having a good time and it's just a moment to catch up and get more quality time with whoever you're with.
Yeah. So love that.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's nice.
One last waiting. I like this one for multiple reasons.
Okay.
I'm grateful in the waiting when I'm waiting for the beat to drop the song.
Yeah.
It's like when you have a good song and it's coming, and then that beat just drops. It feels so good. And it makes me happy. And it's the anticipation. The anticipation of what's coming. But also, because Rosie loves to have dance parties now, her favorite thing to do is, you gotta wait for the beat to drop.
Yes.
You gotta wait for the beat to drop.
Yes.
She loves to say that. And she, I love that she knows that you gotta wait for the beat to drop. Okay? And then just watching her wait for it and then hit her move or whatever she's doing. Ugh.
I love when she'll like crouch low and go, wait for it. Wait for it. It's the best. That's always my favorite part of all those dance parties that we had was her just, I just loved when she would crouch low. Wait for it.
Wait for that beat to drop.
She's such a cutie. Yeah, that's fun. It's such a release.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other gratitudes in waiting?
That. I think that was kind of my main one. You know, I wrote down, it can force you to slow down. Like you said, you notice things around you, and you know, we live such fast-paced lives. It's always so go, 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 go. And you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, stand on your balcony and let the breeze go through your hair while you wait for, you know, the video to upload, because your Wi-Fi takes 6 hours. So take that time
to do. I want to know, anybody who's listening or watching at home, if you can find gratitude in waiting, what is that? What is your gratitude in waiting? I want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. You could share your gratitude too, but I feel like gratitude is easier to find in waiting. Find gratitude in waiting. Give me your example of your gratitude in waiting. You could leave it in the comments on YouTube. You can leave it in the comments on Spotify. You could leave us a comment on one of our clipped out videos on Instagram or TikTok. But I want to know what you guys find, where you can find gratitude in waiting. Also, you can call us and leave us a voicemail message, and you can tell us verbally, vocally. You can use your vows. Use your vows and tell us what you're grateful for. Here's the phone number, Danielle.
Okay. The phone number is 747-300-5380. You can also text that number if you're scared of your voice. However you said that.
Send us a text.
And then you can email us at fungilapodcast@gmail.com and leave comments wherever you get your podcast.
That's right. Join in the conversation, you guys. Let us know your gratitudes, your gratitudes. If you need advice in life, ask us. Give us a little jingle and ask your question, and we'll give you our best take on it from an outsider's perspective. We don't know you. We don't know your life.
Mm-hmm.
You just give us whatever details you want to give us, and then we will give you our initial thoughts. Okay. So, do I have any other announcements to make? Oh, my special.
I was about to say.
It's just coming out, so I know.
So, this is going to drop Tuesday on the 5th. So, next week.
Okay, so you haven't seen my special yet. But it is announced. Ugly Baby, my 7th 1-hour special, is coming out on Mother's Day, May 10th. So, get ready to watch it. Pull it up on all your devices, on your TV at home, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your phone. Get all them views counting. Mm-hmm. Send it to everybody you know. Send it to your friends, your family, your coworkers. Send it out. Get the word out. And
you know, send it to people you don't even like. Be like, hey, you're in a bad mood? Watch this.
Anyways, as always, appreciate you guys listening and tuning in, and we will see you on the next episode of Fungila. Bye!